Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Utes back at it coming up this weekend looking for their first victory. They will take on Oregon State, helping us break down all things Oregon State. Angie Machado from BeaverBlitz.com, part of the 24/7 network and CBS Sports. Angie, how are you?
Hey, Angie.
Hey, guys. How are you guys?
Very good.
Doing well. So who's the quarterback going to be on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the big question. I mean, I'm going with that we're going to see Chance Nolan, the junior college transfer from Saddleback College that signed last December with Oregon State. But Tristan Jebbia has said he's starting to kind of work out a little bit and see how it feels. So we will see. Hamstrings can be kind of a tricky thing, as you guys probably know, and we'll see what happens. But I would be shocked to see Tristan Jebbia.
So would you say that this Oregon State team, quarterback situation besides the point, is more the losses to Washington State and Washington to start the season, or kind of the recovery and rebound of a nice win against Cal and then a gigantic win last week against Oregon?
Yeah, I actually think it's really kind of the rebound that we've seen. This team has really kind of taken on the personality of its coaching staff. And, you know, I've been critical of this coaching staff, Coach Donovan Smith, and in that there is not one person on the staff that is real excitable or gregarious. They're all very even keel. And I think that's actually helped them now down the stretch. And you know, that Washington game could have gone sideways, you know, a couple of bad calls, a couple of bad spots by the officials late in the game that could have led to an Oregon State taking the lead in that game. And instead of, you know, getting upset, they went back to work, beat Cal, and then that, like you said, that Oregon game on Friday was huge. It was a huge boost. Coach Donovan Smith, year three of his, rebuild at Oregon State, and I think it has re-energized this group tremendously.
What does it mean to that Corvallis community when they get a win against Oregon?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you know, Oregon is, it's been the arch rival for, you know, that was the 124th playing of that game. It's one of the longest running rivalries in the country. And just, I think, where you look at where the two programs are, you know, with Phil Knight and the influx of money and power that they've kind of had and recruiting, they've gone national in their recruiting 4- and 5-star players. And Oregon State has been down for the past, you know, 5-10 years. And it's more of that blue collar doing, you know, go back to Mike Riley days of doing more with less, blue collar program of finding those 2- and 3-star players and building them up and developing them. So it is huge. And not only just in Corvallis, the entire state. I'm closer to the Portland area and, Beaver fans are, it makes it a little easier to get out of bed and put on that orange.
Tell me a little bit about Jamar Jefferson that I might not know outside of his 4 games so far of 120-plus, including last week's 230.
Yeah, you know, Jamar is a special, special talent, and we all saw it his freshman year. He was a freshman All-American and did great things. Last year was quiet for him, and part of that was because Artavis Pierce really came on strong, and part of it was because he was not 100% healthy. But, I think the biggest knock on him had been that people didn't think he was fast or didn't have the breakaway speed. But yet we've seen that now the past 2 weeks against Cal, the opening, the first play of the game, he took it 75 yards. Against Oregon, the second play of the game, he took it 82 yards. So he does have that breakaway speed. But I think his biggest thing is balance, vision, and just strength to be able to break tackles. Definitely one of the top, I would say, I mean, definitely in the conference, but I think he has to be looked at in the national race as one of the top running backs in the country.
What do you attribute the turnaround to and what Jonathan Smith's been able to do to try to get this thing turned around? Because, I mean, let's be honest, there was a lot of heavy lifting that needed to be done.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you think back to 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, and Gary Anderson was the coach and quit the team in the middle of the season, left the program. They were left with an interim coach, and then Coach Smith was hired just actually 3 years ago, a couple days ago. So it's been 3 full years now, and I think the biggest thing was changing the culture. And, this was a team that was pretty broken, and they were down. I mean, I can't imagine having your head coach leave midway through the season. And they've been through a lot. And so to have a coach come in and a staff that has changed that culture to keep them, you know, I mean, it hasn't been easy the whole time, and they've had some tough losses, but in order to keep them on the straight and they've built that family atmosphere. And it really reminds me back when Coach Riley was the coach at Oregon State. There's a family atmosphere around the program. The players all are together and unified. And it's nice to see these guys having fun playing football again.
Any COVID issues that this team is dealing with right now, players that might not be available?
You know, it's nothing, no huge outbreaks. David Morris, I think, is still out. He was on COVID protocol for the, gosh, it's been a 2 weeks now, but I was told he's still probably not available for this week's game. And Noose Kale Bownum, the starting right guard, has been contact traced. So I don't know when his 10 days is up and if he's asymptomatic. We should know on Saturday afternoon who for sure, but nothing earth-shattering that we've heard so far.
Overall, do you get the sense, especially after these last two wins, that things certainly are turning a corner there in Corvallis, that this is a team that is poised to have a pretty good year in 2021?
I do. I think, you know, this is a team that, you know, when you look at a rebound or a rebuild year, you're looking at, you know, just that first year is just trying to establish your program. Second year, you're going to maybe be closer than you were in year one. Year three, you want to start winning some of those close games, and we're seeing that now. You know, a lot of, you know, Oregon obviously has better talent, but Oregon State was able to, you know, fight till the end and come up with that win. Washington was right down to the, you know, fourth quarter. They're making progress. And I think depending on obviously health and, you know, who comes back, it's going to be interesting. You know, I don't know if I see Jermar Jefferson coming back, depending on what, you know, his draft status checks out with the scouts, but, you know, running backs have a short shelf life in the pros. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him go. On the flip side, Hamilcar Rashid, one of the, you know, he was the Pac-12 leading sack leader last year, tackles for loss leader. He came back this year and hasn't had, you know, as big a year as many thought. So it'd be interesting to see if he comes back since this year isn't counting against eligibility.
Curious to know how good this defense is at getting to the quarterback, because I do think that that'll make a difference against Jake Bentley and this Utah team.
Yeah, you know, that's been an area that the Beavers have struggled, to be really honest. I mean, Hamilcar has not had the numbers that we expected him to have. And part of that is due to the fact that, you know, Oregon State does not have a true nose tackle in their 3-4 system, which is really hurting them this year. The guy that they were counting on who really had a shot, I think, to play Sunday is Jordan Whitley, was diagnosed with a heart tumor. Never heard of it before, you know, he announced that that's what he was dealing with. So he is not available to the team this year. So they've had to kind of scramble and piece some things together there with a walk-on playing a lot of those downs and a redshirt freshman. But that front seven maybe isn't as strong as I thought they would be, but the linebacker corps have really stepped up, especially in the middle, Avery Roberts and Omar Spates. But pass rush has been a tough one for Oregon State, you know, not as strong as I was expecting.
You know, it's interesting, too, when you look at how this is going to affect recruiting and guys coming back and getting essentially an extra year. How is Oregon State poised to handle that in terms of recruiting, and are they going to want to bring a lot of these guys back that are seniors right now?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. This was going to be a super small class for Oregon State in the first place. There was only 12 seniors on the roster. So regardless of who comes back and who doesn't, it's not huge numbers. It's not like a class of 25. So recruiting-wise, Oregon State is nearly full right now with 10 expected signees. There's a couple more spots open, but it shouldn't affect too much. You know, there's always some attrition at the end of the year. I do expect a few of these seniors to either decide that they've had enough, you know, time to move on, or you know, just hang them up. But no, it's not going to be as huge of an impact as a lot of other programs are going to have, you know, next month or two.
Give me three or four names just on the outside, tight ends, receivers, any pass catchers that we should be paying attention to in this game coming up this weekend.
Yeah, Oregon State doesn't have a lot of height at receiver. A lot of speed, but not a lot of height. So definitely Trevon Bradford and Colby Taylor had breakout performances against the Ducks. It was really the first time we've seen the passing game kind of come alive this past week. So those two are definitely two to watch. And then the tight end, Luke Musgrave and Tegan Quatoriano. Tegan has typically been more of a blocking tight end, and Luke Musgrave gives the Beavers that 6'6 height in the passing game. But both have actually had some catches this season. And, you know, those four, I think, are definitely the four to kind of keep an eye out if you're watching the Oregon State offense.
Do they use Jamar Jefferson out of the backfield in the receiving game much?
They do, not a ton, but they will definitely use him in the passing game and the screen game. You also see B.J. Baylor come in, and he's a good back in his own right. But, you know, this reminds me, Jamar is up there now with some of the great Beaver running backs of the past 20 years. You know, you look at Steven Jackson, Ken Simonton, Jaquiz Rogers, Evanson Bernard, and when you have something like someone like Jamar, you just kind of keep feeding him the ball.
Hey, is there any – you mentioned the coaching staff's pretty, you know, low key. They don't try to create a lot of issues, but I got to imagine they were still piping hot with the officiating in that Oregon game. Has there been any fallout from that? Any kind of indication that they've been working with the conference to try to resolve some of these issues?
You know, nothing that we're hearing publicly. I'm sure there's some things behind the scenes. I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row that Pac-12 officials have missed some calls. I mean, I look back to the Washington game, as I mentioned, and there were two bad spots late in the game. In the red zone for Oregon State. Jamar Jefferson, you know, for the first down, and those were two horrible spots. I mean, the national media even picked up on those. And then, you know, looking at this past game, I mean, the line judge is right there at the goal line. Oregon jumped off sides twice. I don't see how you miss that when they're wearing, you know, highlighter yellow uniforms. But they did, and then there was also the injury to Tristan Jebbia, which, while I'm not going to say it was dirty, I know things go on in the pile, but from TV you could see an Oregon defender yanking and pulling and twisting on his leg, which I get it, it's football, but it's just unfortunate that that happened.
Just one more opportunity to reiterate your expectations of Tristan Jebbia and his possible return to the field against the University of Utah.
I'd be really surprised if we see Tristan. Like I said, the hamstrings are kind of a tricky thing. We heard from Coach Smith on Monday that it was worse than they thought it was initially, his injury. But, you know, then Tristan yesterday comes out on a local Portland radio show and said that he was, you know, starting to work out a little bit, but I would be shocked to see him this Saturday. And if we do, I bet it's pretty limited.
Well, Angie, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and I look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Great conversation. That's Angie Machado from BeaverBlitz.com, part of the 24/7 network and CBS Sports.